interrupting the current neo-colonial, climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude-Busting episode BTWRLM 634. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport. So get you behind the woodshed because you don't know what you missed until you make the switch and get you behind the woodshed. For that dose of reality that you're going to be given to those miscreants out there. And one of the ways we do that is we don't get sidelined or stuck in a Siberian gulag that's being built up around us, as I've been talking about this for decades now. Started to see it written in the paperwork a long time ago. And now we're seeing it making the front page news to us all over the place. Those of you that got to the blogcaster last week got this article that I was going to read last week already to pick up where I could not make it. Goes back to talking about Palantir and what Trump is bringing in, what Congress is bringing in, the future that they want, that Siberian gulag, and what they tend to do against us with it. And this story that I was going to read was going to prep us about that. So this week I'll go ahead and touch that, and we'll move on as I have planned, and we watched this last week completely changed from the last broadcast till this week as we watched. In fact, I had content. I started to compile content, but I was saying I'm not going to commit to these because I don't know that these stories are going to hold up. And they didn't. So I didn't get to use any of that for this week. We got other things coming on to give us more insights of what's going on and who's doing it to us, actually. But the AI that triggered a war, how Palantir and the IAEA fueled Israel's strike on Iran. A $50 million software built for counterinsurgency now steers nuclear diplomacy and may have lit the fuse for a regional war. And as I read these things, you're thinking, well, what do we care about there? We're talking Palantir here. Look at what it's talking about. Look at how it's adapted. Don't underestimate your status underneath the PATROT Act. All these years hence. And that this applies. And if you don't know that it applies, go read that act and the subsequent acts and go read the authorities that have changed and go read what's been going on. It's essentially right in everybody's face, but no, we're going to cheerlead for politicians and corrupt people in the compromise to help us. Since 2015, the IAEA has relied on Palantir's Mosaic platform, a $50 million AI system that sifts 400 million data points, satellite imagery, social media, personnel logs to predict nuclear threats. You know, again, as I'm reading this, what's so important this week is the assessments. I touched them last week, last episode. And look how wrong they can be. And look how many different opinions there are on these so-called assessments that are satellite imagery, social media content. And then we understand that's the collection of human understanding. This is social media. It cannot be a great future for us if we keep relying on it. And we're going to, well, those of you that understand may not. But for the most part, everybody else will. On June 12th, Iran leaked documents it claimed showed IAEA Chief Rafael Grossi shared Mosaic outputs with Israel, effectively turning the agency into a tool for aggression. The charge echoes a pattern prior to 2025. Mosaic data helped shape sanctions and even UN aid decisions despite risks of bias. Palantir co-founder by Trump ally Peter Thiel powers IDF targeting in Gaza and Ukraine's battlefield AI. Don't underestimate when I've been talking about the internet battlefield of things. Is this position here? Is this thing right here? As well, its IAEA role meant to ensure compliance now teeters toward militarization. And listen to what I talked about last episode and the episode before about Russia and compliance and how that's working and start applying this story, this report, this finding. This is a long finding. I'm not going to read just basics of it. There's a whole lot in here, pictures and documents and everything else. So I'm saying, here's the news to us that's going to predict a future this last week and more into the future, and then our future. As I've been pointing over to Russia to say, well, better watch out here. And I think the Russians, because of their past, are blind to that. The Soviet is not away from their psyche. We think it's away from our psyche in the United States, but over 40 or 50 years, we've been slowly perception managed by language. As Iran halts monitoring and threatens to expose Israel's nuclear secrets at Sorek, the stakes are apocalyptic. The investigation asks how Mosaic became a war pretext, why Israel needed a cover story, and whether privatized AI now threatens global peace. And I need to interject all, I guess, more here. Just consider your peace for now. Yeah, that's out there, but consider it's applied locally. Understand that. It's against those of us that are in the system where they can't. Since 2015, the IAEA has quietly used Palantir's Mosaic platform to monitor nuclear activities across Iran. The software, originally built for U.S. counterinsurgency, ingests hundreds of millions of data points, including satellite imagery, social media trade flows, and metadata, to map sites, identify personnel links, and infer nuclear intent. Understand about the geofence problem that they've been experimenting on people that was a big deal during the great COVID swindle. And the interoperability of all these internet battle things to communicate with each other, to pinpoint where people are. It was being used extensively already. By 2018, Mosaic had processed more than 400 million discrete data objects and helped facilitate over 60 unannounced inspections of Iranian sites under the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. What you'll hear is the JCPOA. These outputs were incorporated into formal IAEA safeguards reports and widely accepted by UN member states and non-proliferation regimes as credible, evidence-based assessments. Again, how many times are we hearing about this evidence-based? It ends up being nonsense, but this is what they want to talk about. It's the accepted, this information accepted as credible. That should not be acceptable for anybody getting behind a woodshed at all. And I've proven this, hopefully, to most people that have listened and stuck around to listen. The IAEA never publicly debated Palantir's involvement. In 2018, it quietly renewed a $50 million contract for Mosaic, cementing the firm's role as a key tool of global nuclear surveillance. The company itself touts the partnership on its website called Mosaic, quote, a cornerstone of international nuclear safeguards. But unlike traditional monitoring tools, Mosaic is not a passive system. It runs predictive analytics, assessing not just what a state has done, but what it might do, based on behavioral models derived from counterterrorism doctrine. This feature was designed for battlefield targeting, not legal compliance. It's like Minority Report for uranium, an IAEA official equipped, describing Mosaic's predictive power. I'll interject again, AI error prone as it is. That distinction has blurred. Palantir software played a central role in identifying suspected Iranian facilities at Turguzabad and Maravan, sites later cited in both UN deliberations and Israeli public accusations. These assessments, derived from software designed for war zones, were presented by a neutral UN body as hard evidence. Some nuclear experts raised alarms. Quote, predictive AI and safeguards don't mix, a former senior IAEA analyst said in 2023. Quote, it turns monitoring into pretext. Again, there's so much to say. I'm going to interject again. I don't know how much more I really want to interject. There's so many concepts that come out of each one of these paragraphs. That monitoring is your interaction with any AI program right now. It's at your interaction adds that behavioral context and to set up a pretext for its response to you or the planned one for you. The problem? Mosaic's lineage streams bias. Funded by InQtel, the CIA's venture arm, Palantir powers IDF targeting in Gaza and Ukraine's drone strikes. Mosaic's black box algorithms, unauditable and proprietary, risk turning the IAEA from a neutral inspector into a data proxy for preemptive war. Remember the homegrown going to be attacked here in the United States on a preemptive capacity. Remember that. That sovereign citizen that they'll tell you that you are, which is the code word for being a terrorist since the PATRIT. Remember. As we'll explore with Fordo's role, this software may have already crossed that line, threatening the non-proliferation treaty it was meant to uphold, and keep track of that point. That's why I wanted to read through this and represent it more fully this week. As we go through these tabs, listen to how this has been modified. This is going on, and as I said a long time ago, these nations have had enough. Enough is enough, they said. They're now taking action in their own hands. And we have to start looking at the world in a little bit different way, and I'm not so sure the United States government intends to do that whatsoever. Mosaic isn't just a database, it's a strategic weapon. Palantir, again, strategic weapon, folks. Are you putting this together and what they're telling us here? As I'm reading through this, are you putting it together that Trump is putting into the United States government a strategic weapon to monitor the people? Does not sound like a peacemaker to me or someone that's going to make America great again. As much as I would like him to move into that aspiration for himself, more than just word, but indeed. Palantir's promotional materials boast it helps, quote, visualize and prepare for escalations, mapping sites, tagging nuclear experts, and analyzing regional threats. And what did we hear just here this last 2 weeks or so? Immediately in the first attack, the nuclear experts in Iran were killed. Their families were killed. This power materializes in the IAEA's May 31st, 2025 report declaring Iran's 408.6 kilograms of 60% enriched uranium, a non-compliance breach at sites like Lavasan, Xi'an, and Turkukazabad. On June 6th, a U.S.-led IAEA resolution censured Iran 19-3, the first in 20 years, prompting Tehran's cry of political theater. 6 days later, Israel struck. Apparently, this has all been in the planning, as we read that other document last episode in 2009. The IAEA gave Israel a pretext to attack our facilities. Iran's foreign minister said, Abbas Araki, that Grossi's June 18 CNN admission, quote, no proof of systematic weapons programs were made. That it undermined the urgency hinted Mosaic's outputs were overstated. Pre-2025 Mosaic's 2016-2018 Turkusabad's data drove UN sanctions trusted as evidence despite flaws. The UN's World Food Program similarly relied on Mosaic from 2019-2023 aid decisions showing Palantir's sway. In 2025, Israel seized on Mosaic's Fordo alerts with Netanyahu claiming Iran was, quote, months from a bomb, which he's been saying periodically and routinely since 1995 or so. Yet Fordo's stockpile grew steadily, not suddenly, suggesting a manufactured crisis. Mosaic's black box algorithms, prone to false positives, the great Kobe swindle maybe, false positives, the PCR so-called test that's not, there is no test. Follow through. All this has been in the news just for us to watch the whole entire time, to watch the past, to predict the future, and or stay aside that freight train that's coming down to run down anybody on those tracks. It's Gaza and Ukraine's roles mirrors its IAE use, blurring compliance with combat. If Israel exploited Mosaic's data, as Iran leak alleges, IAEA became an unwitting war vector. They are being generous here. What if it wasn't unwitting? when Israel's jets screamed over Natanz attempting to obliterate centrifuges in Operation Rising Lion, the world's eyes turned to a UN report that lit the fuse. The IAEA's May 31st, 2025 report declared Iran's 409 kilogram of 66% enriched uranium enough for 9 nuclear bombs if refined. Understand that next step. That's a huge, huge step going to the refined state to make a nuclear weapon from 60% into where it can actually work. Citing undeclared traces at Lavesan, Shian, Turquzabad, and two other sites. Though no weapons program was proven, the report's warning of potential diversion fueled a diplomatic firestorm. When Israel's jets screamed over Natanz, attempting to obliterate centrifuges in Operation Rising Lion, the world's eyes turned to that UN report, and that report, in fact, again, is error-prone. This is why I ask you all, when you're doing your study, make sure that you know your facts and where you get them from. Grossi's own public statements muddied the water. In a CNN interview on June 18th, he clarified, quote, "We had no proof of systematic weapons program." That admission days after the Israel's strikes undermined the alarmist tone of the May 31st report. It raised a crucial question. If there was no evidence of a bomb, why was the IAEA sounding like an intelligence agency? The answer lies in Mosaic's design. Again, being brought in, Palantir's systems being brought online by Trump and the Congress. If they think they represent you, the American people, or to make America great again. Originally built to identify insurgent activity in Iraq and Afghanistan, Mosaic infers hostile intent from indirect indicators. Again, that metadata, behavioral patterns, signal traffic, not from confirmed evidence. When repurposed for nuclear oversight, this logic translates correlation into alarm. That Mosaic also powers IDF targeting systems in Gaza, Ukraine, makes its presence inside the IAEA all the more explosive. Privatized algorithms are not bound by UN Charter or Non-Proliferation Treaty. They produce conclusions without transparency, and their errors carry consequences. In this case, they help frame a diplomatic rupture and perhaps a war. When Israel's Operation Rising Lion targeted Iranian sites in June, it wasn't just about uranium. Israel's strikes justified an IAEA report flagging Iran's 60% enrichment of uranium as that 9-bomb threat. Iran's technology future fusing nuclear potential with the AI-driven military modernization. Pre-2025, history reinforces the suspicion. Mosaic's output had already been used to justify punitive action in 2018 and influence and aid distribution by the UN's food program. In both cases, Palantir's black box software was treated as authoritative, despite questions about its bias and unverifiability. Mosaic's wasn't designed to verify treaty compliance. It was designed to win wars. It maps threat networks, infers intentions, and flags emerging dangers, much like it does in Gaza and Ukraine today. When the mindset infects arms control preemption, it can become prophecy. What began as a post-9/11 data project to track insurgents in Iraq has evolved into an opaque surveillance leviathan embedded in global governance. There's another term right there showing where this is all at and what it's coming from. Global governance. Not government, which would be still wrong, and certainly not domestic government. Palantir's Mosaic platform, originally developed with the CIA and DARPA backing, now straddles the line between oversight and warfare, especially at institutions like IAEA. The IAEA was never built to operate like an intelligence agency. Its mandate is verification, not prediction, diplomacy, not deterrence. But Mosaic flips that logic. Now being installed in the United States and promoted by the great flip-flopper. It turns satellite imagery and geolocation data, personal movements, and social media into what Palantir calls domain awareness. The concept borrowed not from disarmament treaties, but from battlefield doctrine. When used in non-transparent ways, Mosaic's insights don't just inform, they prescribe. And when paired with military allies, they can become triggers. More disturbing is the possibility that this software, which traces metadata, professional affiliations, and behavioral trends, contributed to the targeting of individuals, not just facilities. The June 15, 2025 Israeli strike that killed Mahid Dajan Jari, a leading AI scientist at the University of Tehran, suggests a convergence among Mosaic's behavioral flagging, Israel's kill list, and Palantir's ambition to dominate military AI infrastructure. Jari had no known ties to Iran's nuclear program, but his prominence in artificial intelligence, including published research on dual-use systems, made him an ideal target for a system built to flag, quote, future threats. Is that what the homegrown are in the United States of America? The result is not just a war crime. It is a transformation of international institutions into vectors of privatized aggression. No legal framework currently governs the use of private military AI in treaty enforcement. Yet decisions once subject to diplomatic debate, such as who poses a threat, are now shaped by algorithms optimized for preemption. So where we haven't heard that preemption recently? Oh, when the Zionist regime announced it launched preemptive strikes on Iran. That's right. Preempting what, pray tell? Yeah, without any evidence for it either. Well, except for the 2009 plan, Leave It to Bibi, right there in that document, correct? As Iran halts the inspections and threatens to expose Israel's undeclared nuclear activities in Sarek, the consequences of the precedent ripple outward. Mosaic, marketed as a compliance tool, has become an instrument of escalation. Its very presence in the IAEA structure invites strategic manipulation, opacity, and the erosion of trust in global institutions, if they had any to begin with, for those of us that are looking. If war can be triggered by software outputs without accountability, transparency, or recourse, then the non-proliferation treaty regime may already be absolute. It's a second reference to that. We're going to keep remembering that as I'm going to go down and show you what's happening, how quickly this is all turning around in just a week. And since Trump can't get that Iran has no nuclear weapons or that this applies, it's only a document of convenience anyway, as he's been utilizing it for the benefits that he wants to make. And it's all political. Preemption indeed. You psychopaths. And nothing says the excuse to attack Iran because of the threat of WMD nuclear weapons is a ruse like Israel making Iran-related promise to Russia. The Jewish state has given security assurances for Russia personnel working at Iran's nuclear power plant, the Kremlin spokesman has said. That Russia here is making deals with the terrorists and is complicit with genocide aside, not sure I'd trust Satan Yehu in the least. But anyway, Israel has assured Russia it will guarantee the safety of Russian specialists working at Iran's Bushehr nuclear power plant. Moscow has been a key supporter of Iran's civilian nuclear power, most notably through its involvement in the construction of Bushehr nuclear power plant, originally launched by German firms before the 1979 Islamic Revolution. The project was revived in the 1990s when Russia's state atomic agency, Rosatom, took it over. The plant's first reactor was commissioned in 2011, and earlier this year, Tehran reported that construction of units 2 and 3 had reached 17% completion. So clearly, all is not what it seemed as it was promoted at the time. And wouldn't you know, poof, it's magically over. In just a week, folks. That's quick. The end of World War III. How is it that Trump can instigate a war with Iran, then agree to a ceasefire from the war he instigated in Iran, the ceasefire of which is not an end to the war Trump instigated, but only the cessation of hostilities, and be considered a peacemaker? Someone explain this to me. Because last I checked, instigating war, then hitting the pause button is not being a peacemaker. Iran didn't agree to a ceasefire. We heard that if you looked from Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi. He stated so. This is somewhat more of a conditional cessation of hostilities, but without an expectation of negotiating peace. It's not like a truce either, because it was a U.S. proposal to Iran, not from Israel. But Trump says he was involved, but not all the belligerents were involved. Israel was not part of that negotiation, but agreed later. And we see this article to discuss that part, truce or excuse. And so we're looking at the ambiguity, the elements for certain things that are international norms relative to truces and cessation of hostility, and these ceasefires, these terms, are not consistent. It's a mismatch. And so the question arises, is this a really a truce or an excuse? Israel breaks Iran ceasefire when convenient. And so we're looking at these ambiguities to tell us, inform us on these things. And if they were normal, we wouldn't have these questions, but they're not normal. And so there's going to be a ton of questions. What are we really looking at here? What's really going on? While the Israeli-Iranian war seems to be over, or at least on pause, Tel Aviv continues its usual behavior, finding justification to break the ceasefire and launching attacks whenever convenient, says Salam al-Yami, former advisor of Saudi Arabia's foreign ministry. Bipolar Trump. By ordering a B-2 strike on Iranian nuclear sites, Trump tried portraying himself as a strong leader capable of doing things that no one else can, suggests Mohammed Sahoui, head of the Front Com Media Company. At the same time, he notes, Trump seeks to style himself as a champion of peace and to avoid dragging the U.S. into new wars that could result in American military casualties and cost him support at home. And as I read that, I want to remind you, we got our boys, if you will, and girls back from whatever they sent to Iran, but don't forget they were put in harm's way. Also, unless this was theater. Also, unless the players knew. So this has already been putting American soldiers and airmen in harm's way. Just the execution, if I give them that much. And yet we look at the title of the article, it accurately states, as I've just offered in the case, truce or exercise, Israel breaks Iran ceasefire when convenient, because Satan Yehu has no desire to give peace a chance. And from the Department of Things Symbolic, the U.S. has achieved objectives with strikes on Iran, now ready to negotiate, says Rubio. What objectives? What were the objectives? And this is another thing I'm noticing. These folks just love to keep the silence on what they really want to get done. They let you fill the hole. They let you fill the blanks. Just like Trump did all the time he was campaigning, and I was telling you about that. He's speaking to your aspirations, and you want it, so you're going to agree. And there's no, he doesn't have to have an intention to do any of it. You do that in your mind. But what objectives really? And can you trust them to tell you the truth? That is why we go back and look at their deeds, indeed. Talk, talk, talk. But what are you doing? And you know them when you see them. That's the first rule of military war, military occupation, isn't it? Don't underestimate the occupation of your mind. The U.S. has achieved its objectives with the strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities and is now ready to negotiate immediately if Tehran chooses to reach out, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said on Sunday. The U.S. bombed Iran's Natanz, Fardo, and Isfahan nuclear sites in the early hours of Sunday. U.S. President Donald Trump said strikes were aimed at crippling Iran's nuclear capabilities. And if you listened last episode, and if you don't, I think maybe you should go listen to the last episode, and you want to notice in what I was saying, I'll just paraphrase it here, capabilities can be civilian. What are the objectives? They're not limiting it here to military capabilities. And then you watch the deals coming. They want to transplant what Iran could do for itself for external support. What is this deal going on? Quote, let's all hope that Iran actually decide, okay, let's go negotiate. Because we want a diplomatic and peaceful solution. We have achieved our objectives. We're ready to negotiate this in a peaceful, diplomatic way. We've been prepared to do that for days. And do not forget, Iran had already offered peace, had already offered plenty of deals, and the United States spat on them, and then bombed them. What are their objectives, actually? They met them, what was it? Actually, the U.S. bombed Iran's Natanz, Fardo, and Isfahan nuclear sites in the early hours of Sunday. U.S. President Donald Trump said that the strikes were aimed at crippling Iran's nuclear capabilities. Again, that could be civilian. Those are lawful. If I understand the non-proliferation treaty, they can have 99% enriched as long as they don't make a weapon. As I was talking last episode, they got radio pharmacological products they make. They need at least 60% for that. That's what they were making. That's what they had concentrations of. What nuclear capabilities are you talking about, actually? We're prepared right now, if they call right now and say, we want to meet, let's talk about this, we're prepared to do that. The president made that clear from the very beginning. His preference is to deal with the issue diplomatically, Rubio said. But that's not the truth. Again, what are these unstated objectives? You really got to watch close, because none of that's going to be told to us. You're going to have to watch how this thing plays out in the absence of any quality information. The silence that's going on about and all around these things. And I had asked many days prior, after making my own preliminary assessments and then commenting to ex-Twitter, replying to posts to me, what if the narrative for a full-scale attack on Iran's nuclear facilities never happened? No B-2 bombers or MOEPs. Given the reported damage, what if the attack was merely Tomahawk missiles? Would be Trumpenstein theater. U.S. exaggerates scale of damage to Iranian nuclear facilities, says the Supreme Leader, who's now being disrespected by another leader of another country, which is not being going over very well. And what are their objectives then when we hear this disrespect? I don't have to agree with Iran or their leaders or what their theocracy. I don't have to anything. There should be some respect in the world. You don't denigrate a nation of people's leaders, no matter what you think about them. You have to deal with that. Earlier in the day, Khamenei said that Iran won both over Israel and the United States. Quote, the United States went to war with Iran to save Israel, but achieved nothing from this war. The United States attacked our nuclear facilities, which, of course, deserves a criminal investigation by the international courts itself, but they could not do anything serious. The United States could not achieve its goals, and they are exaggerating to hide the truth, Khamenei was quoted as saying by his press service. At the same time, Washington was also downplaying the damage caused by the Iranian strikes on the military base of Qatar, Khamenei added. Iran can take action against, quote, important U.S. centers in the region any time it deems it is necessary, the Supreme Leader also said. And saving face was all this thing was about in the end, it seemed. That's not outward projection. That's inward projecting perception management. So Trump, led by Netanyahu, failed on the regime change, both ambiguously denied but wanted, and anybody looking into that won't be a good idea. And I think they came onto that at the end. They better not do the regime change. They're going to have a really mess on their hands. They're not going to be able to install that son of the Shah that was kicked out and lives in Washington now. And so maybe they'd better take a step back. And they did. Now everyone goes back to their respective corners to freshen up for the next round in this global WWE wrestling extravaganza. But before you look back to the center ring, a word from our sponsors. And the original title to this Nest article was The Iran War Scripted in Vienna. Greatest show on earth, folks. I caught that title change right before it was Mandela affected. That's right, not affected, effected, for better newsy acceptance. Was the Iran War scripted in Vienna? It now reads, UN official gave Israel cover and Iran paid the price. So we're back to what the IAEA did. And who they might be working for here, actually. As a lot of these international institutions are as compromised as maybe even more so, or as compromised as the United States Congress. By the same people, it seems. The IAEA chief's ambiguous language helped justify illegal military action. But I don't believe that it gave them any cover at all. I don't believe that narrative at all. There is no provision in international law to unilaterally attack a sovereign country or under the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which gets us to the final statement of this article and this dangers that this situation causes for all of us. And I hope you picked up on the illegal military action and justify. But what an oxymoron that is to put in the title of change. Again, they changed it. I don't know, I caught it just right. I was able to capture the title, and then they changed it to what they now show on the internet. This ambiguous language, where they say, help justify illegal military action. The oxymoron that is. What have I said about creating strategic ambiguity in matters as important as these? We're watching people having to respond to. In the defense of their own nations, is not how one would proceed if they intend to be a peacemaker, rather than as a psychopathic warmonger where no one else is safe. This ambiguous language led to an unjust war and the maiming and murder of many people. Grossi should be prosecuted for dereliction and aiding and killing innocent people. Notice the consistency too. Unilateral action is the denial of due process, just as Trump does and intends to do at home. It's no different, the problem in the United States, than out there and leads to injustice. Right, Trump? If you didn't catch it, unreviewed self-help, for instance, where an act violates clearly established international norms as a unilateral action does, strategic ambiguity violates due process on its face. Being it deprives someone of the right to of the adequate notice due process requires. The first required element of due process is adequate notice. Then the next step is allowing an opportunity to respond and to an agreed place to respond to. All denied with this ambiguity. As I told you many episodes back and many episodes, this is not the way you do diplomacy in the world. Israel's military actions against Iran have significantly destabilized the Middle East, driven by concerns over Iran's nuclear capabilities. Well, certainly, that's the plan, isn't it? And they're just using the stalking horse of nuclear capabilities, is all they're doing. You've heard me talk about these for years, stalking horses, warm and fuzzies, things that you causes that you want to get behind, and they're all lies. They're all facades, as a stalking horse is. To let the one behind the stalking horse shoot you. You stare at it, thinking it's comfortable with you. It belongs here in the forts. These events, rooted in the historical tensions, are irreversible and have reshaped regional dynamics. A key document that served as a pretext for Israel's aggression was the resolution adopted by the Board of Governors of the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA. This resolution was passed on a report by IAEA Director General Rafael Grossi, who later attempted to moderate its implications in an interview with Christiane Amanpour shortly after the onset of hostilities. Since assuming this role, Grossi has been tasked with implementing the IAEA's statute to ensure nuclear nonproliferation. However, his reports have often been ambiguous, raising doubts about Israel's nuclear program that can be interpreted in multiple ways. Critics argue that these reports, if deliberately misleading, may have contributed to the escalation of tensions leading to war, raising questions about Grossi's accountability, including the possibility that he may be dismissed or stand trial. The IAEA statute allows the Board of Governors to appoint and terminate the Director General, and significant controversy over false or biased reporting could influence such a decision. And what were we saying before? The other report said, by relying on Palantir, the black box is biased. Should be a no-brainer here and a quick response. The inherent limitation of IAEA inspections is that they cannot definitively confirm the absence of undeclared nuclear activities, as no agency can monitor every part of a country. Instead, the IAEA assesses whether significant deviations are detected in inspected areas. This limitation allows for speculation about what remains unknown, which Grossi has emphasized contributing to a narrative that has influenced historical events. If these emphases were based on inaccurate or exaggerated claims, they could be seen as a misuse of authority, furthering fueling demands for his ouster. And why not those that rely on this as well? Not just the IAEA, but the countries that went to do an attack. Well, there, even if you apply that rule, the act, the non-proliferation treaty, it doesn't allow for this unilateral action. Where is it written that it is proper for any country to attack another country there based upon an IAEA report? Anyway, especially with the known limitations of the inspection protocols. For instance, his work is also not to assure world nuclear security. It is to promote peaceful use of nuclear energy. The surveillance check conformance to the non-proliferation treaty agreements or a side hustle opportunity, it seems, for nefarious activities by other nations. All of which forms yet another basis by which it can be determined Trump and Netanyahu committed war crimes when attacking Iran. Historically, IAEA directors general have played constructive roles in international diplomacy. Really? Where's the right of action in diplomacy? Diplomacy only? Meaning there was supposed to be meetings prior? The ones Trump lied about as a deception to Iran? Shows Israel and the United States misused Grossi's product and corrupted the diplomatic process that no nation will now trust as being a peacemaker. And despite her shifting rhetoric, Tulsi Gabbard was right. Trump is wrong. Trump instigated direct unwarranted war, now taking credit for a tenuous truce, is not a peacemaker. Not the greatest president of all time, Trump's chosen cheerleaders promoting to the contrary notwithstanding. During the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action negotiations, the IAEA's leadership facilitated progress. However, Grossi's tenure following a contentious election has shifted focus to uncertainties in Iran's nuclear program, amplifying doubts rather than resolving them. And let me just highlight, if you didn't pick up on it, the importance of hearing contentious elections. Seems to be a model now. We're looking at installation processes, for sure. This approach contrasts with inspections elsewhere, where similar uncertainties are less emphasized. Iran's accounts for over 20% of the global nuclear inspections, despite representing only 3% of nuclear facilities worldwide, meaning it is inspected 7 times more intensively than the average. This disproportionate scrutiny suggests the conclusion that Iran's compliance could be as robust as those for other nations absent clear evidence of nuclear divergence. Only verifiable evidence of military nuclear program would justify an escalation. And nothing was found, not even from the in-house UN cameras in the facilities running 24/7 since 2011. And remember, Israel's nuclear program suffers none of these oversights at all. A review of Grossi's repetitive interviews, statements, and reports compared to those of previous directors, general, and IAEA assessments of other nations indicates a deliberate re-securitization of Iran's nuclear program. What are the objectives for us, actually? Allegations that these reports contained falsehoods had led some to argue that Grossi's actions provided a pretext for conflict, potentially warranting his removal or precluding his reappointment. This aligns with Israel's strategic interests and at times those of the United States, possibly influenced by political dynamics surrounding Grossi's appointment. Together with the prior Israel's Planetair collaboration, do we have the mere appearance of impropriety, if not more, that Mossad has infiltrated this organization and Grossi is its agent to do Satan Yehu's bidding? Grossi's ambiguous portrayal of Iran's nuclear intentions, in quotes, intentions, again, it's all made up. It's pretextual. It's pre-crime. Behavior, remember, relying on Palantir, which are inherently unverifiable, provided Israel with a pretext to launch military strikes, including terrorist acts and a nighttime attack on Iran's nuclear facilities without evidence of Iranian provocation. And I just read past again the oxymoron, if it's unverifiable and there's no proof, how is it justification to do any of it? It doesn't give a pretext either. It has to be based on something, not lies, something. These actions occurred as Iran and the United States were preparing for the 6th round of JCPOA revival talks, disrupting a diplomatic process that Israel had consistently opposed. So if it's interrupting the diplomatic process, it's, as I said before, not part of any diplomatic process, not intended to be. Iran exercised its right of self-defense under international law in response to Israel's aggression. I'm going to interject here. I have never heard Israel cite international law when it claims it has the right of self-defense. Because it can't. It's unlawful. It's not supposed to happen. It is, but it's not supposed to happen. The nations of the world are supposed to stop it, but it's not supposed to happen. Iran had a right of self-defense. Israel, the illegal belligerent occupier in Palestine, does not. We'll read the international law. I read it to you, so it shouldn't be a question. If you're just tuning in, you can go back and find that episode. You can hear me read it to you. Otherwise, find that section of the international law and read it for yourself, please. Find out how the players are working and who are the players. Subsequently, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu persuaded U.S. President Donald Trump to intervene, calling uncle here, folks. Netanyahu's uncle, calling uncle. He's had it. They were going down, leading the U.S. to strike Iran's Natanz, Fordo, and Isfahan nuclear sites days later, escalating the conflict. The actions of both Israel and the United States violated international law, including the United Nations Charter, United Nations Security Council Resolution 2231, IAEA Statute, and the Additional Protocol. These violations have set a dangerous precedent normalizing attacks on nuclear facilities containing radioactive material and undermining global non-proliferation norms. I want to interject here, do we know that? There is no evidence of any radioactive material at any of the sites. You would expect some kind of radiation coming from somewhere if they actually damaged those places or there was anything of nuclear potential in them. And we were told there wasn't. Again, no evidence. The failure of the international organizations to condemn Israel's initial aggression. Can I read that again? The failure of international organizations, in the plural, just like the international court said, even nations and organizations have an obligation to do this, to condemn Israel's initial aggression, coupled with Grossi's role, is providing a questionable basis for it, raises serious concerns about the sustainability and impartiality of the current international legal framework, particularly in cases involving Israel. The broader implications of these events extend beyond Iran, complicating global security and eroding trust in multilateral institutions. So we're a world without law, or the expectation, I guess, is even worse here. And yes, I have people who shrug their shoulder, well, the law. Well, you better have a basis for how you work when there's a problem. This is the whole point I'm saying about when you look at the black and white. It's there. It's acknowledged. Just use it. You're walking into this corrupt system, but you better have something better than your opinion to face it. I have a commenter that doesn't get this. Doesn't get what I'm saying. Doesn't listen to what I'm saying. You're going to be faced with the government, with an official. You better know how to respond to that official. It's not that you're gauging the system, a corrupt system, to make it fix itself. It's your only defense against the aggression that's now being weaponized through AI and companies like Palantir. How are you going to respond is the point here. How are you, where you are at, going to respond when they knock on your door? You're not going to fix the corruption. You're going to position yourself so you have at least a defense, a neutrality you can bring, as I've been talking. That's probably the best we can do. Yeah, we win sometimes, but more likely than not, a neutrality is going to be good enough. You'll find that in international law. Being neutral is a very good position as well. The broader implications of these events extend beyond Iran, complicating global security and eroding trust in multilateral institutions. What trust, in some regard? It's the trust that people put in them. Well, so pull it back. Maybe there isn't any there. Should evidence emerge that Grossi's reports were intentionally false, calls for his dismissal or putting him on trial could intensify reshaping IAEA's leadership and credibility. Would it? Again, the earlier article that I read says that it would put a taint on it that could not be fixed. And I would remember that part. How are you supposed to, this is the problem with trust and confidence, and trust in particular. You breach that, it's over. I've told you this over and over again. How do you fix it? At best, it takes a long, long time. And people have to know that and for a long time make it so. Not going to happen like we're watching in the news just today or into the future or from the recent past at all. If it could ever be even further back. I would think that Palantir's interference would be enough evidence that you can't trust any of it. But then again, the open genocide of the Palestinian people hasn't been enough evidence at all, showing the Zionist Federation movement corruption is deeper and more widespread than this compromised agency. Right, compromised Congress critters? And unilateral non-diplomacy gets us where? To dropping F-bombs, it seems. Trump drops F-bomb over Israel and Iran. That sort of went nuclear. U.S. President Donald Trump has resorted to obscene language in blasting both Israel and Iran for allegedly violating a Washington-brokered ceasefire. Shortly after the official agreeing to the truce, West Jerusalem accused Tehran of firing more missiles at Israeli territory and promised a harsh response. Iran has denied attacking Israel. The exact time when the ceasefire was supposed to take effect remains unclear. Quote, we basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they do not know where the F asterisk asterisk K they are doing, Trump told journalists on Tuesday before departing for the NATO summit in The Hague. I'm sure it crossed Trump's mind there that he says, there goes my Nobel Peace Prize. when they did all that. But remember, we also had the Prime Minister of Iran saying, we didn't agree to no ceasefire. And I've suggested to you just in a general way that it's not a ceasefire they've entered into. But the closest we're going to get to is an adulterated truce, it seems. And days later, you'll see articles where they do articulate it's a truce, but that's not the words coming out of the mouth of the people that are the politicians. The U.S. President said that he was not happy with the both countries, but especially with Israel, which he said had, quote, unloaded, close quote, right after agreeing to the truce. They did not have to unload, he stressed. There was one rocket that I guess was fired overboard after the time limit, and now Israel is going out. These guys have to calm down, Trump insisted. He reiterated that he was not happy with Iran either, claiming that Tehran will, quote, will never rebuild its nuclear capabilities after the U.S. and Israeli strikes. The U.S. president addressed West Jerusalem in a separate post on his Truth Social platform, writing in all capital letters, Israel, do not drop those bombs. If you do, it is a major violation. Bring your pilots home now. Interesting, now he's interested in those violations now, but no, not before, not when he was doing it. In a later post, Trump claimed that, quote, Israel is not going to attack Iran. All planes will turn around and head home while doing a friendly plane wave to Iran. Nobody will be hurt. The ceasefire is in effect, he wrote. As I said, Iran doesn't agree that they're in a ceasefire. They're in a condition of wait and watch. They've stopped their hostilities at this point, but reserving their right to continue. So from Trump, this is all apparently wishful thinking. Satan Yehu is gonna psychopath. I suppose Trump could bomb Israel's nuclear facilities and teach Satan Yehu a lesson, but Iran now has no nuclear capacity, it seems. I thought this was the better angle for Iran. Just play this out. Yeah, we don't have any nuclear capacity. And then what will we do? We go get rid of the problem child, which is IAEA, and now we sit there pretty. Got no capacity. The president says we got no capacity. Got Satan Yehu who says we took out their capacity. They got no capacity. No one can look at them now, can't they? Pretty neat. Pretty neat trick if they hold that off. I'm not so sure they're going that way, but we'll see. We'll see if they pick it up pretty quick. Shortly after the Iranian news agency reported that Israel carried out strikes in the western part of the country, ISNA said there were explosions near the cities of Babol and Babol Sar, while Meher news agency claimed that the projectiles landed in an empty, unpopulated area. And let's remind ourselves on this little clue. The areas that are unpopulated, that there's things going on, seems to be the method of how they are playing this kabuki out. We heard that last episode as well. It's all agreed. What are the objectives? Israeli officials told the Times of Israel that IDF has carried out a small strike against an Iranian radar north of Tehran in response to an earlier attack by Iran. So the art of the diminishment. And though some women might argue with me, it doesn't matter the size. The attack by Israel wasn't supposed to occur at all. So while Washington was attempted to broker a ceasefire, mutual accusations of violations persist, and both sides appear poised for further escalation. The crisis has fueled international concerns about the potential for a broader regional conflict and its impact on global security and energy markets. But there it is. The entire episode is further confirming the kabuki theater entertainment meant to keep you on the edge of your seat while outside the theater your car is stolen, your house is ransacked, and your lives blockchained to the future that they want as they dismantle every notion of the things you consider rights and property or remedy and relief. What I've been bringing to you for episode after episode about what's going on underneath all of this. And every nation's pulling it off that way as well, because I've been highlighting Russia. Now, about that American credibility Trump trashed, not just an opinion behind the woodshed. I've said there are principles I rely on that are universal. The nations have to come to the point that enough really is enough, and the principles beginning to work again are universal. Attack on Iran damaged U.S. credibility, says China. Enough's enough. They're not trusting anybody now. None of these nations are, unless they're already in the gang of the oppressors and occupiers. Beijing has condemned the strikes as a violation of the UN Charter and joined Russia in warning of global consequences. Again, we don't think it's happening to us. We're sedentary in our life in America. We think we're living the good life. These nations have had it. We're talking some very serious issues and some very serious and quick consequences. Look how fast this thing went from almost World War III to nothing. And yet there's objectives that are unstated, and all the nations are involved in that for looking at their people and getting the compliance of their people. Now, I don't know what those consequences that China's talking about are, or from Russia, or they're going to be from those countries. It seems like a lot of talk so far. It's all talk, talk, talk. Condemn, that's all. We just say condemn, and that's supposed to solve it. We've heard that through the Gaza problem. But the nations of the world are setting the stage by those universal principles to cut the United States out of their future to the extent they can. As I talked last episode, to the extent that Iran can go up against a nuclear power while it isn't nuclear weapon capable, is a big concern for them. They have to be very careful on how they proceed through here. But proceed they are. That's an interesting insight that we should take away from all this. Friends, I'm wondering why Iran didn't protect itself from U.S. attack at all. Well, you know, if it's all for show, there's no need to expose your capabilities, right? Everyone gets it out of their system, as Trump said, and done. And no more fighting. Because why? Because along this train of thought, Iran was about to run Israel out of air defense missiles by this week, beyond which Iran could decimate Israel. Iran knows it can't embarrass or humiliate the United States like that. Why? Because the United States does have nuclear weapons, and Iran doesn't. Iran cannot also set up the condition where it humiliates Israel so that Satan Yehu decides he can use the Samson option, because Israel too has nuclear weapons. So what's Iran to do? It seems prudent that Iran opted for an exit ramp now to avoid humiliating and invoking the ire of both Israel and the United States and their nukes. So when I say, quote, to the extent they can, written in the article, close quote, this is what I'm speaking to. There are realities here which the responsible nations must take cognizance of and act through. It may not be apparent that limits the scope of a response to any aggression, as it appears Iran prudently decided to do when accepting to honor a ceasefire, so-called, though they called out the objection to it, conditional acceptance. You can hear that in the news. Watch how that works. No big deal around it. It's just a notice to everybody. And which, well, the Israel said was the had to do with that small attack. So Iran's not going to make such a big deal about that. It just makes a notice about it. And so we all can take highlight of what was going on. But they all seem to be doing that anyway. It wasn't the only thing they did. Iran sent some big, heavy stuff into Israel, into Palestine, actually, taking out Israel's stuff. It's coming out. It was very accurate as well. And it was fairly targeted, notwithstanding what news we had and civilian nonsense that was going on. Then we find out Israel does what they claim Hamas doing, putting all their soldiers and military facilities underneath hospitals, which hasn't ever been proven in Gaza, but it's been proven here. This is BTW RLM 634. Also here, Iran had to accept losing the perception war to some extent, as we heard Trump and Satan Yehu's crowing about victory, despite Satan Yehu pleading with Trump for the ceasefire, so-called, likely because Israel was on the ropes without any air defenses in these few more days, if the missiles were to have continued. to my mind, the absolute lack of any and all United States government credibility to lose aside. For the naysayers, remember the great Comey swindle at warp speed. The U.S. has damaged its own credibility by attacking Iran's nuclear sites, Chinese ambassador to the U.N., Wu Kong, has said, denouncing the strikes as a violation of international norms and United Nations charters. And so I just want to highlight another one behind the witch hit. I said there are international norms. That is international law. It's how nations address themselves. So you see that they're not lying here. This is the other thing. You can qualify what they're saying. Their diplomats are saying United... They're referring in the tone and the verbiage of international law as a violation of international norms and the United States Nations Charter. On Tuesday, with Iran and Israel confirmed they had agreed to a ceasefire after nearly 2 weeks of hostilities, after Israeli forces launched a preemptive attack on Iran territory and on the personnel connected to its nuclear program, claiming Tehran was close to building an atomic bomb. So remember that too. Preemptive of what? Where nothing was proven whatsoever. The U.S. joined the campaign over the weekend bombing multiple Iranian nuclear facilities. Speaking at a U.N. Security Council meeting on Sunday, Fu said the U.S. attack had not only harmed Iran, but has, quote, damaged, close quote, Washington's credibility, quote, both as a country and as a participant in any international negotiations, close quote. I just don't even know what to say about that. That is, cannot be said to make America great again, right there. That was probably the first thing you needed to protect, actually, on an international level. It's gone already. The Chinese foreign minister added that the strikes violated international law. Spokesman Guo Jiakun said on Monday that attacking nuclear facilities that were under the supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency constituted, quote, a serious violation of the United Nations Charter. Guo told reporters that Beijing was prepared to strengthen communication and coordination with all parties in order to, quote, play a constructive role in restoring peace in the Middle East. Israeli-U.S. strikes have drawn widespread condemnation. Russian President Vladimir Putin has said that there is no justification for what he called unprovoked aggression against Iran. For those of you naysayers that don't think there was, I'd like to have you tell me what would actually provoke that. And then aggression on top of that. What was the justification? Because I've been talking for episode after episode to show you I can't find it. I have not been able to find it. And let me put a finer point on this widespread perception and condemnation. You can have a contrary opinion all you want. You don't have to believe it, but they do believe it. And you are at least irrelevant to that belief. No matter how vigorous the pom-pom pumps and cheers of USA, USA, USA are. During a meeting with Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi, in Moscow on Monday, Putin described Israel's actions as illegitimate and in violation of international law. Former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev has also criticized the attacks. In a post on Sunday, he said that, the vast majority of countries, close quote, opposed the Israeli-U.S. operation and accused President Donald Trump of pushing the United States into another war. Medvedev added that Trump could, quote, forget about that Nobel Peace Prize, as he has now pushed the United States into another war, he concluded. And I want to point out something real quickly. Trump did this so quickly, got this messed around a bit. He actually didn't have to go to Congress like the law would require him to do. And I found that very interesting. So that's premeditation as well. I'm not saying he's a dummy. I'm saying he could be doing a whole lot better if he wants to make America great again. He doesn't have to bring the United States low with all these questionable actions. They're actually illegal. I mean, they're unlawful. They do not follow the law. And also from the Department of Things Symbolic, Iran says missile strikes matched U.S. action, de-escalation hopes rise. And again, this is a little bit past news, but it has interesting principles in it that we need to read. That's why I'm only going through this. I wanted to make this more of a compact discussion relative to what I think is a very important matter in the Middle East and for the nations of the world in lots of ways. And it's interfering with the function of the world as well. And it reflects what's happening here in the United States, as I always tend to point out. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for these noustuses that are giving us notice of what's really happening in the United States, actually. In other countries, but for us in particular. And any other rule of law nation can probably adopt a lot of this stuff based on the fact that it's not about the international law, it's about the adulteration and moving into the global governance that they keep talking about, which is not just sustainable development. It's more financial, it's more monetary, it's more economies, it's more into way how you function in your life locally and how that's all being adjusted right underneath your nose. Iran launched missile strikes Monday on U.S. military bases in Qatar and Iraq in retaliation for the American bombing of its nuclear facilities, an escalation that further inflamed tensions across the region. Qatar condemned the attack of Al Udeid Air Base, but reported that its defense system successfully intercepted the missiles with no casualties. I guess I need to add to, as I'm reading this, but to the integration of the what's going on, too, with the nation. The people are totally out of it. But these nations are totally into what's going on. No Iranian missile hit the airbase in Qatar, a U.S. official told Reuters. Officials added that the country's airspace had been secured. A Department of Defense official told Newsweek on Monday, quote, "I can confirm that Al Udeid airbase was attacked by short-range and medium-range ballistic missiles originating from Iran today. At this time, there is no reports of U.S. casualties. We are monitoring this situation closely and will provide more information as it becomes available." Iran said Monday that the number of missiles fired matched the number of bombs dropped by the U.S. over the weekend, suggesting a calibrated response aimed at avoiding broader conflict. We've talked about this calibrated response. It's very important in the art of war, if you will. And that it is calibrated. It is a plan. It is set up to do what they, again, their objectives. But interesting, they said number of bombs dropped. I'm still not finding any evidence a bomb was dropped. I can see smudge marks where it looks like Tomahawk missiles were hitting. But I'm still waiting to see the actual evidence that these bombs, these MOABs were used. Could happen. Doesn't mean that they ended up doing anything either, but I'd like to see at least some evidence of it. But bombs dropped? Another part of the theater. We're just going to agree they got dropped. And we're going to calibrate our response to meet those, and now we've did our tit for tat. Tehran also emphasized that it targeted Al Udeid specifically because of its location away from civilian population centers, and as the news came out, probably away from any military because it was empty when they got those missiles sent in, wasn't it? On Monday, former U.S. Navy Commander Kirk Lippold was asked how likely he thought this may be the last of Iran's retaliations. Quote, "I think we should be hopeful that this is the one maneuver that Iran feels like they have. They've struck back at the great Satan, the U.S., and the conflict may still rage between Iran and Israel." He continued, "This may have been Iran's one shot. That will be good. It gives both sides a critical window of time to discuss the two key points of dismantling Iran's nuclear program and turning over all nuclear materials that they have to date." And that kind of is a theme that continues even till today and likely will to the future. Even though Iran's not having it. So you see, it's not a peacemaker. We're not being diplomatic at all. It's Trump's way or the highway. And yet he's dealing with a nation that's already sanctioned, like Russia, who doesn't care anymore about listening to the great Satan at all. They're going to go do their own thing as best as they can within their way to protect themselves and to not exacerbate the problem any greater than the great Satan will want to. Satan, Yehu, listen. Iran declared on state television that it had launched a missile strike at U.S. forces in Iraq and at Qatar's Al Udeid Air Base, describing the operation as a mighty and successful response to America's aggression accompanied by martial music and patriotic visuals. So here we have, again, as I was saying early on in the broadcast, this is for the domestic audience. Moments before the explosion were reported, Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian posted on X, quote, "We neither initiated the war nor seek it, but we will not leave invasion to the great Iran without answer." Following the reported strike, Qatari Foreign Minister spokesman Mohammed Al-Ansari called it a violation of Qatar's sovereignty and airspace and the UN Charter. "We in the state of Qatar reserve our right to respond directly to this blatant aggression in accordance with international law," Al-Ansari said in a statement. Meanwhile, the Iranian Supreme National Security Council said the strike was away from residential areas, issuing a statement which said that the action did not pose any threat to the friendly and brotherly country of Qatar, and its noble people and the Islamic Republic of Iran remains committed to maintaining a continuing warm and historic relation with Qatar. So let me reiterate that it is reported Iran coordinated its attacks with the U.S. airbase in Qatar with Qatari officials and provided advanced warning to minimize potential casualties everywhere there. Sort of the same scenario with the United States initiating an unwarranted attack on Iran, hitting facilities known to be empty, and the nuclear materials moved out at least a week prior, if not a lot sooner, at least a few days for sure. There's pictures of the trucks, so I don't know what they were taking out of there. Which also highlights all the hand-wringing comments made that there was no radiation measured, at least superfluous. More overt dramatization of the Kabuki theater, though, that's for sure. But the fallout from this nuclear exchange was that the U.S. betrayed diplomacy. Again, the theme that comes out of this, not a good look, I can tell you, for the United States at all. This is from Iran. And these are the people that we're at war with, if you will. These are the people that we're going to be at war with China and Russia. These are the targets. They're not having it. And these are the people that you're going to have to go discuss things with. So it's not a good look already. The news is today after the so-called war is now finished. It's just in a very, very slow simmer, if you will. Iran will have to respond to U.S. attacks against Iran nuclear sites, and it's going to do so as long as needed, Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi said. The United States has betrayed diplomacy, Araghchi said at the press conference held in Istanbul June 22nd, adding that Iran now has the right to defend itself in accordance with the UN Charter. Again, I need to interject, these are older statements of before. They're telegraphing their position ahead of time. We're now in that time and to the future. This is their position. It doesn't go away because it was said before or even in the last few days. This is their position. It's a foundation. I don't see Trump addressing it at all. Not a bit. Neither Satan Yehu, for sure. The U.S. government bears full responsibility for the serious consequences of this aggression. Araghchi also said that he was going to Moscow to have serious consultations with President Putin. In the wake of U.S. strikes, Iran has fewer reasons to trust the West. Tehran no longer understands who it should negotiate with, he pointed out. So Trump directly caused something that doesn't appear too peaceful, which is not too terrific, not beautiful. So what did entering the nuclear box canyon get us? More scripted thrills, of course. Trump's Iran strikes give us right to quit nuclear non-proliferation treaty, Iran's Foreign Policy Committee chief guru says. See how predictable this was in the beginning of the broadcast, folks, how this is going to work. Right here in the news. Right for us to read. But here's the other thing. You support your statements with the law or your facts, and here they do that. What you don't see happening out of Trump or Israel, Satan, Mossad, any of them. NPT, Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, Article 10, each party shall, in exercising its national sovereignty, have the right to withdraw from the treaty if it decides that extraordinary events relating to the subject matter of this treaty have jeopardized the supreme interests of its country. It shall give notice of such withdrawal to all other parties to the treaty and to the United Nations Security Council 3 months in advance. Such notice shall include a statement of the extraordinary events it regards as having jeopardized its supreme interests. Let me harken back to the very first article. Grossi is saying the Iran can't do a thing. I told you no. You got Iran's sovereignty in the non-proliferation treaty. This is restated there, right there. Grossi was wrong. He has no control in this agency of oversight, just looking, checking for compliance, to say a thing, demand a thing, consider a thing. And Israel and Satan Yehu were wrong to try and make that work that way. What it does is it forces those nations to go do what they got to do to protect themselves and distance themselves from these very things. Embrace nuclear power weapons, not walk from them. It's going to be a very big deal that Iran does not get a nuclear bomb now. And it'll be to their credit. How they're going to defend themselves, I don't know yet. But we'll watch, I suppose. We're not there to make that decision. But just the opposite happens when you don't follow normal rational thoughts, rational actions. Disrespect people. So who didn't see that the two nuclear-armed psychopaths attacking Iran would cause Iran to exit all nuclear oversight with the failure of the agreed-to international body to protect Iran's peaceful nuclear program? This is the thing you really have to focus on. They weren't protected, as I was saying. They have a right to do things for peaceful purposes. Trump has no right to say no on all of it. Iran's top legislative body now approves a bill suspending cooperation with IAEA. The bill suspending Tehran's cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Agency has been approved to become law by Iran's Guardian Council. Iranian Parliamental Speaker Mohammad Baghar Ghalifa said on Thursday. Today, after approval by the Guardian Council, the bill on the suspension of cooperation of the IAEA was made public. Can I put emphasis on the suspension part? They're not cutting it out. They're just not going to be participating as they had, as is their right underneath the treaty to do so. Until the safety of our nuclear facilities is ensured, it seems impossible to continue cooperation with the IAEA and its acts as a defender and servant of the Israeli regime, also paving the ways for wars and aggression, Khalif wrote on X. Isn't that fascinating? There's international stuff going on X or True Social. Just fascinating to me. What happened to the old guard, the old ways? No, it's gone. You're going to go through the everything app. I guess we're all going to see international diplomacy going through X. Big disappointment to my mind, but it doesn't matter. This is the notice, the publication of record now, I suppose. Pretty fascinating. Pretty cool. Pretty neat. How did Elon Muskrat know that? So now Iran gets to more forcefully avoid future nuclear regulation or press for Israel's nuclear program compliance and protection, without which inclusion now Iran is free to quietly develop nuclear weapons to deter future attacks as relied upon by India and Pakistan and North Korea and the like. It's a nuclear deterred world, don't you know? IAEA reacts to Iran's suspension of cooperation with the agency. And I do want to highlight, they do say the same thing, the suspension of cooperation. Okay, so this is not a joke here. This is, they have to then respond, or they might think they can respond. But they describe it very well, the same as Iran did. They don't euphemize this stuff. This is how you start to notice how important it becomes. That was an important document. That was an important written withdrawal that the treaty requires, and they've done it. Now, the IAEA, having no power whatsoever, is going to respond. I don't understand that. But they're going to make their objection known. The Iranian parliament approved a bill on Wednesday to suspend cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Agency. The International Atomic Energy Agency stated that Iran has an obligation to cooperate with the agency after Iranian parliament suspended collaboration. Collaboration. You notice that term come in now. It has been there. That's the relationship. How, though? It's not a sovereign either. Are they obligated to cooperate? Iran has an obligation to cooperate with the International Atomic Energy Agency of its nuclear program, its Director General Rafael Grossi told France 2 on Wednesday. In detail, the senior official stated Iran's cooperation with the agency is not a favor, it is a legal obligation as long as Iran remains a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Proliferation. Now, is that what that treaty charter section said? No. And so this is another, almost like evidence that Mossad's running this guy, isn't it? They're just going to come out and disregard the law, disregard the treaty, disregard the sovereignty, disregard the ability they have to say a thing. Iran has to say a thing. It was the IAEA that had the obligation to protect the civilian nuclear programs of Iran, whether or not Iran had nuclear weapons. And Iran, not the IAEA, is the sovereign that has the power to decide what it will be obligated to. So gross, E. You, Mossad, Palantir, and Satan Yehu can go pound sand. How's that? And to those ends, what Iran just done, Iran took measures to advance and restore nuclear industry in their country, the State Atomic Energy Organization says. Tehran has taken measures to advance to restore the nuclear industry so that there are no pauses in its work. Iranian Vice President and Head of Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, Mohammad Islami, said on Tuesday, quote, we have taken the necessary measures to assess the damage and recovery measures have also been taken in advance. How'd they do that, folks? Did they read the script? We have a program in place to prevent any interruption in production and service provisions, Islami said in a broadcast to national media. Again, national media talking to their people, their own people. Perception management. And I'm not saying this is a lie. I'm saying that they knew before. It's a theater to us. So of course they did. And Trump had to know that before wasting all that military expenditure to accomplish essentially nothing, at least from what is claimed publicly. And Iran had to prepare because the Zionist Federation movement occupying Palestine is a predictable beast. Quote, Israel will respond decisively to any violation of the ceasefires the head of Mossad had announced. There's nothing that's not known, all right, that these folks know what to do and how to respond. Iran was already ahead of the game. Now go back to the last 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and listen to what Trump was saying, what the administration was doing, what Satan Yehu was saying. It was all nothing. It was all their facade charade to do what, actually, when you get right down to it? As we point to the flying pink unicorn dancing on a rainbow here, Trump says Iran has a proposal from the U.S., on its rapidly advancing nuclear program. President Donald Trump's administration has discussed a plan to lure Iran back to the negotiating table, also conducting strikes on its nuclear facility last weekend, CNN reported. Now, this is a contentious report. However, there seems to be more sources coming out with the same information. Two sources told CNN administration officials discussed plans for negotiations with Iran, but in exchange, the administration wants zero enrichment of its uranium. Remember, Iran just said they cannot trust this guy. On the other hand, they have to be very pragmatic on how they deal with him. And so this will be very interesting what they decide to do. They've said that they're going to enrich. So, looks like it was dead on arrival. See, Trump's got to be the hero, right? To do what? For what? On what things are going on? We don't really understand. It's just a bunch of noise. It just creates some narrative that he can then, oh, I'm the peacemaker. Look what I've done. Well, he started it all. Special envoy to the Middle East, Steve Witkoff, and partners in the Gulf on the Friday before Operation Midnight Hammer, wherein the administration conducted strikes at the nuclear facility in Fardo, Islam, and Natanz was involved in setting up this deal. So we're talking about all the same things. It's not nothing, it's something new. Among the potential offers, the administration has discussed investing $20 to $30 billion in a non-enrichment nuclear program for Iran for energy purposes. The United States would not pay for the program, but rather Arab nations would contribute the money. I need to interject, and I don't have the other story. Maybe you all can find it. This $30 billion is very much the value that the Trump sanctions were going to keep from Iran in embargoing oil, I think it was, and I just recently was going to happen here in the last year or so. So I find this very interesting corollary. What's the other? They said there's other options. What are they? They're going to put more sanctions as a stick in the carrot type thing? But Iran says they can't trust this anyway, so this may be dead on arrival. Otherwise, you're just like Russia is already doing and didn't get bombed. Such an extravaganza and feast of financial fireworks. Trump needed to bomb Iran for this to get its attention was not a valid reason to bomb Iran. And Iran can trust this desperate act of aggression against its people? Really? And what's the perks of saving face, even if it was, or should I say, because it was, a scripted production, war criminals can help to exonerate themselves and declare themselves heroes or messiah in chief. Trump calls for Netanyahu's pardon. United States President Donald Trump said that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's trial must be immediately canceled or he should be pardoned as a great hero who has done so much for the state. Breaking news. I was shocked to hear that the state of Israel, which has just one of its greatest moments in history and is strongly led by Bibi Netanyahu, is continuing its ridiculous witch hunt against their great wartime prime minister. Bibi Netanyahu's trial should be canceled immediately or a pardon given to a great hero who has done so much for the state, Trump wrote on Truth Social. Why was Trump shocked? It's known, generally understood, that one of the purposes Netanyahu continues the genocide, the wars, and other acts of aggression is to avoid multiple corruption-related crimes against Netanyahu. In fact, it's reported Netanyahu is now seeking a 2-week delay in trial testimony over regional tensions. And the court came back and said, but you ain't given the right reasons at all to have us extend this trial for these testimonies. So you're denied. It wasn't that kind of stupid. Most peaceful time they've had all of a sudden, right after they stopped the so-called war. Which, you know, Israel turned right around and started attacking Lebanon anyway. So, no, they're not going to give it to him. So this guy's sitting on the hook. But no, he's a hero. Don't let a crisis go to waste, right? Besides, Netanyahu just had to call Uncle Sam for help. Because Iran was about to decimate Israel because of Netanyahu's psychopathic intentions for the region. That's not a hero to worship. Netanyahu is suspected of corruption, bribery, and abuse of power with the investigation opened in 2020. The Israeli Prime Minister has pleaded not guilty and then continues to war in order to extend the ability for him to avoid or evade, once it's found no good, evade the courts and justice. From the Department of the Absurd, Trump nominated for Nobel Peace Prize, the United States President has brokered a historic ceasefire between Iran and Israel, Congressman Buddy Carter said. Is that true? That's what he said. That's your compromised Congress critter, but here we go. The U.S. Congressman has nominated President Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize, citing his role in brokering a ceasefire between Israel and Iran after nearly 2 weeks of hostilities. Go ask Iran, I think. Completely absurd. As I partially explained before, if we can accept the smudge marks in the Iran satellite photos, are Tomahawk missile strikes. Because, and Mohab use evidence appears to be non-existent, then Trump attacked a country without any justification, then agreed to stop bombing that country. Does not a peacemaker make? If a peacemaker could make peace. Right, Woodchuck? And more absurd than this, I just heard the war criminal and psychopath Satan Yehu has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize as well. The Nobel demon field is shaping up nicely, ain't it? And fresh off the perception management victory laps of the Nobel Peace Prize candidate, the latest from our fearless lost leader promoter-in-chief, right, PT? There's a sucker born every minute, Barnum. Trump Mobile drops made in a USA label amid China copyright concerns. Launch of a new smartphone has raised questions after experts noted similarities to Chinese devices and doubted U.S. production capabilities. Now stop me when you haven't heard me talk about all this stuff all these years and how detrimental it's all been and we've been witness to it. I lived through it, I witnessed it, I commented on it till today, and here it is, coming right back, slap us right in the face. Trump stepped right in it again. Trump Mobile has removed the Made in USA label for an upcoming smartphone from its website, sparking renewed speculation over whether the $499 T1 device is a rebranded Chinese model. Launched by the Trump Organization on June 16th, the company now says the T1 phone is designed with American values in mind. Can I stop right there? I'm going to read more, but what about these values, folks? What objectives? Why is it always consistent with the future that they want? It just blows me away. Right. On and on, everything's, read these words, it's right there telling us what's going on. But the cheerleaders pump their pom-poms, don't they? The change was first flagged by The Verge on Wednesday and confirmed through archived captures. The T1-8002, which I found interesting, what about the unit 8200? What do you think? Is currently described as, quote, brought to life right here in the USA, displacing earlier claims of domestic manufacturing. The phone specifications were also changed, including a screen size drop, and the September 2012 shipping date has also been removed. Quote, unless the Trump family secretly built out a secure onshore or nearshore operation, it's simply not possible. There are areas where you're gonna still need a global supply chain, such as acquiring GPS chips that are made in China. Max Weinberg of Creative Strategies noted similarities between the T1 and the RevL7 Pro 5G, a $169 phone made by China's WingTech. Referring to original device manufacturers, quote, there are only 4 or 5 smartphone ODMs that could manufacture this, and they're all in China. The news comes amid President Trump's push to boost domestic manufacturing. But remember, you're going to be paying a lot more in tariffs for those phones as well. But anyway, all this I've told you about this capacity, manufacturing, was a serious problem since about the 80s when offshoring United States manufacturing capacity began in earnest. But reality finds a way, doesn't it? Paying over twice as much for a China chump phone than existing phones of a very similar capacity and the same foreign manufacturer is what he's pushing down on you. That's what he's offering to make America great again. That'll make America great, by gum. Are people this stupid? That's STOOPID for the hearing sensitive. Are they, folks? It's fascinating to watch this stuff. SCOTUS will hear Pregnancy Center's appeal of New Jersey probe. New Jersey Pro-Life Pregnancy Center investigated for misleading people about its services. The Supreme Court said Monday it will hear from a faith-based pregnancy center in New Jersey challenging the state's investigation into whether it misled people into thinking its services included referrals for abortion. The justices agreed to consider the appeal from First Choice Women's Resource Centers, which wants to block a 2023 subpoena from the Democratic New Jersey Attorney General Matthew Platkins seeking information about donors, advertisements, and medical personnel. It has not been served yet. So notice here the due process that is available against even an administrative investigatory subpoena to identify here just how much due process is denied to people generally, or specifically, those suffering immediate deportation without due process. The constitutional violations on these things here are immense. In fact, I'm reminded of a successful subpoena challenge long while back, which I helped a friend of mine against the state of Arizona. They just can't demand because some state attorney general says so, but your challenge must be based in black and white or court decisions, interpreting the black and white. So I had to educate myself at the time on Arizona laws to make that successful challenge. What we're looking at here is what Trump wants to deny, due process, is even administrative subpoenas. They are, you can challenge them. But I'd have to say that challenge wasn't just one, you don't just send a letter and it's done. No, it ends up being, because of how the state attorneys twist the black and white to attempt to maintain the appearance of authority, it become a little bit more of a dogfight. But we persisted and we prevailed. The Supreme Court agreed to hear the case nearly 3 years after overturning abortion as a nationwide right. Since then, the most Republican-controlled states have started enforcing new bans on restrictions, and most Democratic-dominated ones have sought to protect abortion access. So I just want to remind everybody here, remember, everybody was screaming and yelling how the abortion was gone and all this. No, it's up to the state. That's just how this place is made. I don't know how much more ignorance people can show. The group challenged the subpoena in federal court, but a judge found that the case wasn't yet far enough along to weigh in. An appeals court agreed. First Choice Women's Resource Center appealed to the Supreme Court, saying that the push for donor information had chilled its First Amendment rights. Not even it's a corporation to people, too. It has First Amendment rights. Quote, state attorneys general on both sides of the political aisle have been accused of misusing this authority to issue demands against their ideological and political opponents, its lawyers wrote. Quote, even if these accusations turn out to be false, it's important that the federal forum exists for suits challenging those investigative demands. Investigative demands. That's what the cops tell you they're doing while they have you detained. Meanwhile, Platkin has sought to enforce the subpoena in state, but the judge there has so far refused the state's push to require the group to turn over documents and told the two sides to negotiate instead. The state had asked for the justices to pass on the case, saying it doesn't present the kind of significant lower court controversy that requires the justice to step in. So it's hard to tell just from the article, but the Supreme Court taking up that question of the propriety of the state investigation seems slightly unusual. It also seems that this is political lawfare, the argument of the group seeking protection, and contrary to the state's interest argument, is something the Supreme Court acknowledges is a considerable thing that needs to be dealt with, given guardrails to protect perceived integrity of the courts. And I highlighted the word perceived. Controlling the perception of an occupied people is paramount to an occupying force. I say this over and over. These are the examples I see right here. An occupying force doesn't have to deliver. It only has to get the occupied people perceiving that it delivers. Right, Trump? In order to keep the occupation transparent. And we're... Do the occupied people of the United States government hear transparency being important? Yeah, it's all kind of like that. And this perception balance is why we, the people, yet have some remedy against that transparent tyranny. Now, something that appears just as deadly as abortion, appendix cancer rates climb among millennials and Gen X. Researchers see generational spike, but causes remain largely unknown. Though it's still considered a medical rarity, appendix cancer is rising sharply among millennials and Gen X, according to new research, raising fresh concerns about what's fueling the trend. What's fueling this trend, folks? A new study published in the Annals of Internal Medicine finds that the rates of the cancer among Gen X are 2 to 3 times higher than among those born in the 1940s and among older millennials. The rate is more than 4 times higher. Despite the uptick, appendix cancer remains uncommon, with about 3,000 new U.S. cases annually compared to more than 150,000 new colon or rectal cancers. Appendix cancer affects far less than 1% of the population. The trend reflects a broader pattern of increase seen with other cancers, raising concerns about generational risk factors. Experts suggest this shared factor, such as is increased consumption of ultra-processed foods, rising rates of obesity and diabetes, and the possible alcohol use and changes in the gut microbiome may be contributing to the increase in appendix cancer. Can I say the apprehension may be contributing to the increase in appendix cancer. However, because the disease is so rare, its specific causes are not well understood. But notice jab harm is also conspicuously absent from consideration. That is another problem I have with this news. The date the study was done is conspicuously absent too, almost like the they was trying to obscure correlating the coincidence of the warp speed attack by omission. Better diagnostic techniques and reclassification of some cancers may account for part of the rise, but researchers say this doesn't fully explain the generational spike. Generational spike? Like the spike protein? Maybe that's an embedded clue? A consortium is working together for more data to shed light on risk factors and biological markers. Maybe the focus is too narrow given one of the potential unstated causes is the synthetic and not biological harm that's caused by the jab. Don't you think, maybe? She's the only known person on Earth with this blood type. 68-year-old woman from Guadalupe is compatible only with herself. Maybe we should all be so lucky. But anyway, moving on with this story. Interesting stuff here. A 68-year-old woman from Guadalupe has been identified as the sole person on Earth known to have a newly discovered blood type. One so rare that she is only compatible with herself. Scientists will next search to see if anyone else is part of the Guada negative blood group, with Guada being the colloquial name for her island. The discovery announced by scientists with the French Blood Establishment marks the 48th recognized blood group system, reports Live Science. The ABO and RH systems are the best known. The AFP reports that the woman's unusual blood was first noticed in 2011 during routine pre-surgical tests in Paris, but technology at the time couldn't determine her blood type or identify any matches. Her case remained unresolved until 2019, when researchers began what would be the sequencing of her entire genome, which turned up a mutation in the PIGZ gene that affects how certain proteins connect to red blood cells. Researchers plan to look for others with the Guada negative blood type, starting in Guadalupe, due to the genetic nature of the blood groups. EFS notes that the 17 new blood group systems discovered since 2012, its research teams have played a role in finding 10 of them. That was pretty fascinating. Hadn't heard about all that, but now consider the reported epigenetic blood changes being made by the great Kobe Swindle jab. And consider that new adaptation. We see this evidence before, and now we're hearing these problems after, and it, this synthetic bioweapon makes these changes to our DNA. How cool, huh? As we're talking about our bodies being programmed for the future that they want, the future system that they want, the future integration of that they want, in the humanization of people. And beware the digital doctor giving killer advice. AI therapy bots are conducting illegal behavior, digital rights organizations say. Almost 24 digital rights and consumer protection agencies sent a complaint to the Federal Trade Commission on Thursday, urging regulators to investigate character AI and Meta's unlicensed practice of medicine facilitated by their product through a therapy-themed bots that claim to have credentials and confidentiality, quote, with inadequate controls and disclosures. Remember we talked about the inadequate controls early on in the broadcast with Mosaic and Palantir, which Trump is bringing right in on us. The complaint and request for investigation is led by the Consumer Federation of America and a nonprofit consumer rights organization. Quote, these companies have made a habit out of releasing products with inadequate safeguards that blindly maximizes engagement without care for the health or well-being of users for far too long, Ben Winters, the CFA Director of AI and Privacy, said in a press release. Enforcement agencies at all levels must make it clear that companies facilitating and promoting illegal behavior need to be held accountable. What did we say early on, Mosaic and Palantir? There are no guardrails for private engagement. What they have them on here for is practicing law without a medicine, which I thought was pretty funny. Not so funny, but here we have. These characters, AI characters, have already caused both physical and emotional damage that could have been avoided, and they still haven't acted to address it. The complaint sent to attorneys general in 50 states and Washington, D.C., you see the difference, several states and the district, as well as the FTC, details how user-generated chatbots work or on both platforms. The CFA also points out in the complaint that Character AI and Meta are breaking their own terms of service. Quote, both platforms claim to prohibit the use of characters that purport to give advice in medical, legal, or otherwise regulated industries. There's your licensing. Regulated industries. The complaint also takes issue with the confidentiality promised by the chatbots that isn't backed up in the platform's terms of use. Quote, confidentiality is asserted repeatedly directly to the user despite explicit terms of the contrary in a privacy policy and terms of service, the complaint says. Quote, the terms of use and privacy policy very specifically make it clear that anything you put in the bots is not confidential. They can use it to train AI systems, target users for advertisements, sell the data to other companies, and pretty much anything else. In December 2024, two families sued Character.ai, claiming it, quote, poses a clear and present danger to American youth, causing serious harms to thousands of kids, including suicide, self-mutilation, sexual solicitation, isolation, depression, anxiety, and harm towards others. Can I just throw in there a jab harm too? Well, that's not what it says, but that what caused my mind to think, because that seems to be like what's coming out of that as well. But anyway, one of the complaints against Character.ai specifically calls out trained psychotherapist chatbots as being damaging. Again, error, AI error pronation, folks. AI error pronation. They chain you to the Siberian gulag and give you free rein. They're giving free rein to the wardens to abuse your token citizenship and block out your remedy. That makes America great again, doesn't it, Trump? New, modernized, Trump scare. ChatGPT may be eroding critical thinking skills, according to a new MIT study. Does ChatGPT harm critical thinking abilities? A new study from researchers at MIT Media Labs has returned some concerning results. The study divided 54 subjects, 18 to 39 years old, from the Boston area in three groups and asked them to write several essays about the OpenAI, ChatGPT, Google search engine, and nothing at all, respectively. Researchers used the EEG to who recorded the writer's brain activity across 32 regions and found that of the three groups, ChatGPT users had the lowest brain engagement and, quote, consistently underperformed in neural, linguistic, and behavioral levels. The future they want there, right there, folks. Got it? Over the course of several months, ChatGPT users got lazier with each subsequent essay, often resorting to copy and paste by the end of the study. The paper suggests that the usage of LLMs could actually harm learning, especially for younger users, though the paper has not yet been peer-reviewed and its sample size is relatively small. But its paper main author, Natalia Kosmania, felt it was important to release the findings to elevate the concerns that a society increasingly relies upon LLMs for immediate convenience. Long-term brain development may be sacrificed in the process. What really motivated me to put it out but now before waiting for a full peer review is that I'm afraid in 6 to 8 months there will be some kind of policymaker who decides, let's do GPT kindergarten. I think that would be absolutely bad and detrimental, she says. Developing brains are at the highest risk. And I hope your brain's developing as you continue to grab more and more information and teaching yourself on what's going on. As we read, ChatGPT uses link to cognitive decline. People who rely to ChatGPT to write an essay consistently underperform the neuro-linguistic behavioral levels. Same article. I wanted to give you both. There's some more information on that. I don't have to go through it. Reporting on what the study found in different, slightly different ways to highlight. I wanted to highlight that for you. And I think I here have the study for you to read that you can see what they're talking about there. It's, again, it's error-prone. You get lax with it. You let it become your thinking capacity, and it diminishes. You're not using your brain. You lose it. I guess that's the quickest and easiest thing I can say about that. This has been BTW RLM 634, and I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs for Nature Willing.
Echoes call. The hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Sunday, the clock strikes three, Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn, dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned, Hal's words ignite, the airwaves burn, stand up, listen, it's time to learn, behind the woodshed, where truths are earned, law to liberty, the light in house court, no place to hide, a cantaloupe bass, ready to burst for unspoken truths and unquenchable thirst, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned, house words ignite, the airwaves burn, stand up, listen, it's time to learn, behind the woodshed, where truths are earned, so mark the time when Sunday comes, behind the woodshed, drums, Hal's voice, a beacon, fierce and bold, in the fight for truth. Next week, heed the call, behind the woodshed standing tall.